The Paralympics are over. 11 days of remarkable athleticism, strength, courage and achievement. Ireland sent a 35-strong team to compete in 9 different sports. Medals-wise, we won 6, 1 gold, 3 silver and 2 bronze. Here's the all-important recap.
Representing Ireland.
Gold medalists and Paralympic champions representing Ireland. Katie George Dunleavy and pilot Linda Kelly.
They're delighted that I wanted to retain a title, so I had a bit of pressure on myself going into it. So proud of us both to do that, but now it's three times retaining that title. I think it's going to take a while to sink in.
I mean, it feels like a dream. It also is just a roller coaster of emotions. It's not the medal I had dreamed of, but a Paralympic medal is also like, it's such a privilege, it's such an honour, and to do it with my family and friends all here, it's sensational.
Well, she picked up bronze in 2 European Championships, in between a couple of years out through injury. A brilliant night for Rahini and for Dublin. She said there were so many banners supporting her when she was on the way to the airport. She was counting them all, and she could count them all back as well.
Our brilliant Paralympians, congratulations to them all. Well, before the Stade de France transformed into a giant dance floor last night, there was a plea from that corner of Paris to the rest of the world. The International Paralympic Committee President, Andrew Parsons, closed the 2024 Games with a call for an inclusion revolution. Speaking about being inspired by the last 11 days of the Games and then moving on is not enough, he said.
Inspired by sport, I ask you all to be inspired with your commitment to change. Appreciation and applause must be followed by acceptance and action. Changed attitudes must lead to changed views. Words of praise must be replaced by words of conviction. Obstacles must become opportunities. We all have a collective responsibility to use the momentum of the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games to make the world around us more inclusive.
So is he right? And can the Paralympics help the whole of society to become more inclusive, equal and afford the same opportunities to those with disabilities as those without? We're joined now by sports journalist Joanne O'Riordan, who was involved in RTE's coverage of the Paralympic Games. Joanne was born without any of her 4 limbs. And we're joined too from Paris by the chef de mission for Team Ireland at the Paralympics, Nasa Russell. You're both very welcome indeed and thanks for being with us this Monday morning. Joanne, he
Good
talks
morning.
About an inclusion revolution. What would that look like?
What that would look like. I guess I was in the village for a good couple of days during the punditry, and I suppose the quote unquote disability utopia according to one of the Norwegian summers. And I think what it looked like really was, you know, the first day I went in, people came in with prosthetics, they had their cosmetic cases over them. By about day 3 or 4, the cosmetic cases were gone and people were admiring the tech and the skill and whatnot, or whatever the arms or the legs were doing. They were not looking at the wheelchairs anymore. All the staff were able to assist people, you know, along the way in terms of their food and whatever they needed. All the ramps were available and everything was kind of there, and it was actually really bizarre. I think it was the first place that I actually felt fully independent without a care, that I was able to drive around, get my food, go to the toilet, do whatever I needed to do, and yeah, for me it was a total revolution. I've never seen anything like that before.
And outside of the village, Joanne, what was it like, do you know? Because I was listening to a journalist last night on the BBC who was there doing what you were doing, and he said that there was one metro line in the whole of Paris that's accessible to those with disabilities. There were only 8 train stations, and at one stage he had to crawl on his elbows to get off a train because there was no other way to do it.
Yeah, like honestly, that doesn't surprise me. You know, I had the exact same experience too over there. We published a video online for RT Sport about a wheelchair user getting around, and it was the exact same kind of situation. In fact, I was going to the La Défense Arena for the swimming, and they put me on the Stade de France metro line. So I don't know what that meant in terms of that situation. There were volunteers aplenty, don't get me wrong, left, right, and centre, and they were all adamant that they wanted to help. And, you know, you ask one person to help you, you had 4 people around you looking for a ramp. So, you know, the will was there, but I just don't think the way was, if that makes sense.
Nasi, you're very welcome. You're joining us from Paris this morning.
Thank you.
Listening there to Andrew Parsons and all of those wonderful words and sentiments that he uses, is it part of the Paralympics raison d'etre to influence wider societies, policies and actions of inclusion and equality?
Yeah, I think absolutely it is. You know, fundamentally, that's what the movement is around, is trying to make society generally more inclusive. I suppose we'll start with the athletes themselves and start with sport. And I think just tapping back into what Joanne said there as well, I suppose, you know, the inclusion piece as well, sometimes it can be very conceptual, but actually I think what we're trying to do through sport is show that through practices and protocols and processes that actually you can make things more inclusive. And actually, credit to Paris, what they've done from the very start is design Paralympics in. So even in small things, for example, we had 30 odd bedrooms for all our Team Ireland and 20 of them were accessible. So in terms of, you know, immediately being able to place and room folk was suddenly much easier. And also, I think probably what we've done through sport and the point of the Paralympic Games as well, not just obviously for the athletes in their own athletic career, it's also then about trying to inspire that next generation with the role models and the representation. But actually what we're doing in sport is we're removing barriers. And where we're trying to probably role model is into other sectors and industries through businesses and education in particular, that if you adapt and you change the rules, that actually you can include more people into your work and education environments so that we can have more people with disabilities and much better represented. The spirit, the camaraderie, the problem solving of any person with impairment I've met is well above average. They have to day to day try and navigate things that are just not set up for them typically. So, you know, absolutely, the games are the platform. They're there, as I say, to highlight the abilities. And it's a really positive platform. And what we hope is that by people watching the telly and getting engaged with it, that they start to think a little bit, maybe how might we be more inclusive in our work or education environment. You know, how can we include more people in there?
And Nasa, what does that demand then of the government? Because we had much discussion post the Olympic Games about what is needed to invest in sport for the current generation of Olympians and preparing for the next. What is needed from them for the current and future Paralympians? What's lacking at the moment?
Well, I think, to be honest, it's probably a bit more pointed focus and collaboration. And I know that's there and coming. Funding certainly is part of it. But actually, I think, again, it's a mindset and it's a leadership that needs to come from across the board, not just government, I'd say within our own sporting sector. And also, you know, that it's not acceptable anymore not to have places and spaces that are not accessible. And also, a lot of what we're seeking as well is probably equity. So, for example, you know, for a lot of our athletes, they will need personal assistants, which are additional to what you might usually think if you were to do a similar sport in an Olympic way, for example. So, you know, there's a collaboration. I think it's a willingness and it's leadership. And, you know, we're happy as Paralympics Ireland to play our role in that. And I know from talking to the ministers that were here and across our sector, we're really ready to move forward. I think Paris has been a real game changer for us in terms of the perception of the standards from a sport perspective, but also hopefully as well from a wider perspective with the additional coverage that we've got and the profile and the amazing athletes that we have, that we get people thinking wider around how can they collaborate and look to be more inclusive in their environments.
Joanne, reading the most recent report from Sport Ireland on this issue that I could find, they showed that 38% of adults with disabilities participated in sport and exercise, compared to 66% of those without a disability. In schools in 2022, 15% of primary school children met the physical activity guidelines of at least 60 minutes a day. That's primary school children with disability. 24% of children without a disability met them. What's your view on what is needed to invest in current and future Paralympians?
Yeah, I guess referring what NASA kind of said, it's about attitudes, it's about mindset. You know, I remember in my primary school, PE time was me being a referee rather than actually being involved or being on the sideline or anything like that. I suppose I wasn't actively engaged in sport as well. And I suppose the grand old age of 28, I've had to go out of my own way to try and get myself involved in different types of activities. You know, I go to the gym, I do yoga, I do Pilates, but that's because the teachers and the instructors that I have are able to kind of think outside the box, and they're able to try and figure out, okay, this is how it works. And that's a collaborative approach as well. Like, I see exercises and stuff I want to do and I say it to them, and then they go away for a few days and think about it. So I think that's kind of what we need. It's a collaborative approach across all different areas of society, areas of, you know, government departments, and everything else. You know, I suppose in my ideal world, you know, it'd be like, you know, Department of Housing would be in charge of, you know, building the facilities, and that way they're accessible. You know, Department of Health would help out in terms of, you know, generating maybe grants or maybe certain kind of things, or I suppose things that they can give into people's pockets literally to go join a gym. And then Department of Sport would have the overall focus on that, as well as the high performance kind of things. So yeah, I think for me it's a cross collaboration that's needed, not only amongst government officials but also people on the ground as well, volunteers, coaches, teachers, whoever it may be, and then in that respect, then we're able to get an idea then of what the person actually needs. But I think it's investment needed all around. You know, I mean, you rock up to, you know, I've been trying to get into a swim club now for the last few years, but there's no volunteer able to take me, or it's not adequately set up. You know, and I suppose it is deflating as a person with a disability. You get the confidence to reach out to say, hey, I want to do this, and it's not that you're met with a firm no. It's you're met with a kind of like, oh, it's a bit tricky, isn't it? And that's the last thing you want to hear about your existence, is that it's a bit tricky.
NASA, just finally, I want to ask you about one of our Paralympians, Deaton Register. He was subjected to online racism during the Games, the typical disgusting comments that emerge online. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's doing well. Look, we've been linking in with him and obviously his family as well. And I suppose we very firmly say that we absolutely do not condone any of that, and we won't tolerate it either. And hopefully, you know, what I've seen at Deaton, and indeed the rest of the team, that spirit and the camaraderie for me are a real antidote to that kind of ridiculous prejudice. And as I say, you know, our movement and our team is about inclusion. And you know what? That's what we'll celebrate. That's what we'll focus on. And that's what we'll continue to be activists for.
Well, congratulations to you all, and thank you for taking part in our discussion this morning. The chef de mission for Team Ireland at the Paralympic Games, NASA Russell, and sports journalist Joanna Reardon.